Sunday, the 8th of December, 2013, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Lessons from Corinth. Sermon title, Christian Wisdom, the Way to Growth. Bible reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Talk by Roger Whipp.
The reading this morning is taken from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1. Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise are futile. So then, no more boasting about men. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are of Christ, and Christ is of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Now, not only is it a great privilege to come and share God's word, but I never thought I'd be on the stage with Superman. You've got two for one, Superman and Fat Man this morning. Dinner. Get out of it. A bit close for comfort, aren't they, really? Okay, let's pray. Father God, we do indeed thank you for your word. Lord, the Bible is full of truth and wisdom. And Lord, I do thank you for the privilege of being able to share from that word this morning and what you've laid on my heart as I've prepared this talk. And Lord, I just pray that it will challenge and bless people this morning like it did as I prepared it. Lord, because I know the message is for me as much as anyone out there. So Lord, may your spirit move in this place. Amen. Excuse me. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the things that really gets under my skin are some of the daft laws and regulations that have been inflicted on us. Some influenced by the EU, including the sort of health and safety rules, but not exclusively. You know, can you remember the straight banana rule? And also, you know, that to be a certain size. Can you remember that? and also the ban on conkers. Even here at St. Chad's, our hot water taps were marked up, hot tap, this water is hot. It brought a bit of a smile to my face, I must admit. The exception being in the gents' loo, of course, where the water is always cold, unless someone remembers to turn on the immersion. Police, firemen and ambulance staff having to complete risk assessments in triplicate before they can rescue people, even if immediate action is needed. Although it would be wrong to be gung-ho, in my day, when I was both on the ambulances and in the police, you knew that your job could be dangerous and you were paid to help other people with no regard to your own safety. And how about some of the building regulations? When I applied to have another story added to my single story extension on my home, I had to dig a hole that was 6 foot deep just to prove that the existing foundation was at least 6 foot of concrete. Whereas the foundation in my previous house that was built in 1910, the foundations was just two bricks. However, to be fair, some of the safeguards are needed, so some of the laws really are quite important. You know, especially when you see how many rogue builders and plumbers are around. Foundations are important. Amazing, eh? A complete residential block in China just went... The foundations gave way. And that's just one example that you can find on YouTube. There are many more. As I prepared this talk, I thought I'd better listen to previous sermons that I missed whilst I was sunning myself out in Tunisia, so not to repeat or go over ground that had already been covered, so to speak. And 3 weeks ago, Bob Crowther, in a very excellent talk, has already spoken on the location and some of the problems the church in Corinth were facing. So I won't repeat all that, but I just want to endorse, really, the relevance of Paul's letter in today's society, you know, and certainly in today's church, and it's there to instruct and inspire us. You know, most of the questions and the problems that the Corinthians faced are still very much with us. Problems like immaturity, instability, divisions, jealousy and envy, lawsuits, marital difficulties, sexual immorality, which Paul Bob had to cover, and I thought he did extremely well, pride, arrogance, and the misuse of spiritual gifts. You know, not many of us like to be criticised, do we? And yet here in this opening verse of our reading, Paul, although addressing the church as brothers, and in some translations it includes sisters, of course it does include you sisters as well, so no good you going to sleep. You know, it seems a term of endearment. And then, in the very next part, it seems to go for the jugular, so to speak. No, essentially what Paul is saying, you are a bunch of spiritual babies. Now the Greek word for infants, napios or napizol in the verb, was nearly always used in a negative way. So that's like when we say in English, oh, you're acting like a baby or a spoiled brat. Like babies, they were being self-centred. They were competing with each other. Now, although at times I'm sure that Martin would like to say to you and me, you know, I wish I could address you as spiritually mature people, but you are being childish, acting like spiritual babies. Ouch! That would hurt, wouldn't it? But I'm sure Martin's far too nice a person to actually say that. And I say, any resemblance to the characters is purely coincidental. All right, I did get their permission first in case I started to throw bits at me this morning. But there you go. But as my life application Bible points out, immature Christians are controlled by their own thoughts and desires. Whereas mature Christians, they follow godly desires and principles. Just as it's crucial for a building to have strong, good foundations, the Church of Jesus Christ must be built on his foundations. And we must build of the highest quality, using good materials, adopting the right Christian doctrines and principles, and living a godly life. Now, can you just imagine what God could do here at St. James if every member was spiritually mature and sensitive to the Holy Spirit's power? A church that is doctrinally sound. A church where every member gave sacrificially of their time and money. Just think about that. Now, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but I also think it's important that everything that we do for God is of the highest quality, and that includes physical things in the building. The first thing that struck me when I first got invited to go and preach out in the States was that most of the Americans put their money where their mouth is, in their churches. You know, you must get out of this habit of, oh, that will do, or, oh, we can't afford that. You know, what must visitors think when they use the loo in the vestry? I've just been out there, because at my age, before you preach, it's advisable to. Some of you old men might know what I'm talking about. But there you go. Now, compared to something like this, which is commonplace at the churches that I've visited, now, it's also important that we don't fall into the trap of venerating people, such as happened in Corinth. Apparently, the Corinthians were lining up with human teachers like fans or groupies. You know, they were arguing that their group or their teacher was better than someone of the others. And this kind of behaviour has sadly hurt the church through the centuries. It is absolutely the wrong focus. When a leader tries to build up a personal following and personal empire, it distracts from the gospel bringing glory to God. Yes, we must respect and encourage our leaders, but we must never place them on a pedestal. That honour can only be for one person, Jesus Christ. So often when a minister leaves a church, so do some of the fellowship. And likewise, some may join the church because they like the minister. Now that in itself is not wrong, but if a church is built on the foundation of Christ, he must be the main attraction. I, like many Christians in the 80s, were blessed by the ministry of John Wimber, leader of the Vineyard Church. His teaching and worship style was captivating and enthralling. On one occasion at a conference at Westminster Central Hall, he begged us not to place him on the pedestal. Because as he put it, I'm only human. You know, and test everything I say against the word of God, because I can get things wrong. And I challenge you today, as I always do when I preach, if there's something that you think's not right, speak to me afterwards. And he went on to say, we can only put our hope and trust in Jesus Christ. I guess the modern day equivalents, such as Bill Hybels and Max Lucado, probably come under that same sort of pressure. Now, Paul wasn't actually criticising Apollos in verse 5, far from it. But he was enforcing the importance that any leader, past, present and future, must be teaching and preaching according to the building and building on the foundation of Christ's teaching, nothing more and nothing less. I can't speak for David's preaching because I wasn't here when David was here, but it's good to have you here with us anyway. But certainly, you know, since Maggie and I have been here, the teaching has always been good. You know, even when Paul was here, like most of us, like me, he wasn't perfect, but we cannot criticise the content of his preaching, because I think it was in line with the foundation of Jesus Christ. And I think over the years, God has been building on these foundations set in the past. For church to be successful, it will need a team ministry, a group of individuals with a variety of gifts and abilities. There'll be no superstars, only team members performing their own roles. Yes, it's good and right to give praise and encouragement to other people and to receive it and to give it. But don't just seek praise that comes from people because it's comparatively worthless. You know, seek approval from God first. Thank God that here at St. Chad's, Martin believes and encourages team ministry. And at this point, I want to clear up a few things. You know, to be a labourer building on Christ's foundations, you don't have to be in the leadership team. I'm not. Unlike the Masons, anyone can join. You don't have to be clever or to be an academic. I'm not. Health or age is no barrier. You know, there's much work that needs to be done, and there'll be even more once our church is rebuilt. Now, you may be new to this church, or you may even be new to the Christian faith, a spiritual infant perhaps being spoon-fed. It doesn't matter. Climb aboard. However, to be a successful labourer for Christ, I personally believe that you must have a heart for God and a personal relationship with Him. Someone who is willing to lay aside their own agenda or worldly thinking and seek God's wisdom. Romans 12, verse 2 says this, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Now, this doesn't mean that we lock ourselves away from the world. No, far from it. We do need to be in the world. We need to be in the community. You know, we can enjoy life and all the blessings that God has provided as the world has moved on. I know when I considered being a Christian, I thought once I became a Christian, you know, your life would be boring and so restrictive. But it's not. God wants life in all its fullness to us. You know, it's not wrong to have a nice car or wonderful gadgets. It's technology races on at such a phenomenal pace. However, I am sure that God is more interested in if we are keeping up with Him more than if we are keeping up with the Joneses. Are our thoughts and our actions godly? For one example, modern TVs are great, aren't they? Especially smart ones. I don't know half the things on my TV, how it works. You know, but I've discovered you can shop online, you can catch up, Bill is into it on the programs that we've missed, download apps, you know. They're getting smarter by the day. I wish I could say the same for myself. But should they be used to watch things like pornography or to place bets online? Now, although I'm not a gambling man, I personally don't think, and I don't think gambling itself is a sin, but can it be right when people in the UK spend £46 billion a year just on betting terminals, which the previous government sanctioned, probably because they wanted to claim back the tax and all that lot, you know, when there is an apparent poverty in this country? £46 billion per year. That's just on those terminals. Between March 2012 and April 2013, over 600,000 children were either stopped in or stopped from going into betting offices to use such machines. That's staggering, isn't it? Time forbids me to give more examples, but when will we realise how we have allowed man's folly to override God's wisdom? A good labourer is someone who's prepared to give of their best. You know, we can do without that. Oh, that will do, brigade. We need those who are prepared to accept new challenges. You know, when I first became a Christian, I was content to remain, if you like, on the spiritual milk. You know, it's my excuse not to be pushed into little jobs or areas of ministry. I thought, oh, I can't do that, you know. I'm just a young infant Christian. You know, I felt totally inadequate for it. Thankfully, one day, God's wisdom prevailed over my infantile thinking. And he encouraged me that it was time to come into more maturity. You know, and he hasn't finished with me yet, or with any of you. Most of us still have a long way to go. Most buildings that collapse are caused by a bad design or inferior materials being used. Often, devious builders water down the cement so much to save money. And Paul warns us to be careful how we build the kingdom of God. You'll note that the foundations that Paul names in verse 12 are growing less stable as he goes down the list. You know, silver isn't as stable and valuable as gold. Precious stones, and in this context, he's not talking about diamonds, he's talking about marbles and granites, that sort of thing. You know, they're not as dependable and as valuable as gold or silver. And neither can they be compacted and held together without shifting, like a bar of silver or gold. Now, the list goes on, and with each foundation, the list, its stability is less. Then we come down to wood, don't we? And finally, hay and stubble are the last ones listed. Well, we all know what happens when we build on straw, don't we? He huffed and he puffed. As Christians get further from the Lord, being at the centre of their lives, and it can happen, we can all have highs and lows, the more that they look for other things to act as a foundation of their life, they're putting their life and their salvation in jeopardy. Paul points out the danger of using inferior materials such as straw, and they would not stand the test of time. I wonder how we would stand the test of time when really persecuted or put under pressure. We must build according to God's plan. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. Again, the Tower of Babel was a typical example of man's folly building against God's design. We must be careful not to water down the cement, the biblical truths that build a strong church. Let's make sure every brick, that is you and me, are bonding together in love and unity. And that is never easy, is it? You wouldn't believe it, but there's some people that don't like me. But it's essential. We have got to work at it. We've got to love each other and work together in unity. You know, Satan is very subtle in the way that he attacks the foundations of his church. He's got many weapons, just to name a few. Now, divide and conquer, jealousy, envy. And two, I think, that have had a major effect over many churches that I've known over the past decades. A pride and an arrogance. I'm not suggesting it's here at the moment, but I have to ask the question. Let's just watch this video. You know, as begin to rebuild the church here at St. Chad's, and I've said it before, it's about rebuilding and renewing of our lives as much as the building. Let's do it with love and humility. The church must also use relevant ways of presenting and building God's kingdom. You know, we must make Jesus attractive and relevant in everything we do. But we must never bow down to pressures of political correctness or the way that the world is changing everything around and use the wisdom of the world. You know, it's so easy to get on that slippery slope. You know, we probably say, oh, we're not like that innocent chance. However, wonderful our winter fair was, what happened to our normal name of our Christmas fair? Maybe next year we can have a winter carol service or a winter stingle service. I don't know. See what I mean? Little things. Starting in a wedge. We're building against the building code when we forget why we are here. We are here to worship and bring glory to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. We're here to build his kingdom and to harvest souls. We're not here just to get the feel-good fact on the Sunday. As we know, deception is of the devil because he is the father of lies. It tells us that in John 8, 44. That is why we cannot allow ourselves to be deceived by worldly wisdom, using worldly wisdom as a building tool. God looks at worldly wisdom as foolishness. It didn't work for the people that built the Tower of Babel, and it will never work in any age. Now, I want to close with this stark reminder that's mentioned in verse 16 to 17. Do you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred. And you are his temple. I want you to grasp the magnitude of this. The importance of these words. We are both individually and corporately as a fellowship, the temple of God. Now God's Spirit lives in us. It was this very passage that helped me stop smoking. For my first 2 years as a Christian, all the other Christians will give me a hard time. Oh, you shouldn't smoke, you're a Christian now. Blah, 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 blah. It was only when the Holy Spirit opened that passage before my eyes that I realised that I shouldn't really be smoking if God indwells within me. Of course, we're talking metaphorically. Surely God deserves, in fact, I think demands a clean, safe, comfortable, reliable and honouring place in which to reside. Think about that before we make any plans or we take any action. Is it in line with God's will and wisdom or man's folly? Unlike some stupid man-made laws, God's all make sense, even if they are despised by many or they consider them to have no relevance in today's world. Ignore them at your peril. Build your life on the solid foundation of Christ. Only he can uphold you as the storms of life batter us, as they surely will. Let us pray. Father God, forgive our foolish ways. May we all act, Lord, more like Jesus. Help us to grow in spiritual maturity. Lord, help us to be open to the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, give us the courage to step up to the plate when things need to be done. And may our lives and the life of this church be in accordance with your will and purpose and continue to be built on solid foundations.